Since I was unable to be in our official class meeting last Tuesday, I wanted to provide this short narrative to help you understand the logic behind factor analysis. I would like to do it in four ways. One is to give you an idea of when it is that we would use factor analysis, contrasting the two basic kinds. Two, to talk to you about the extraction and rotation methods. Three, to give you some idea as to how to read the output. And four, to turn you on to the example that I asked you to do in your homework. So with that in mind, let me start with the first piece, and that is, when is it that you would use a factor analysis? Consider how this potential situation would vary from what we have been talking about with our regression-based path analysis. In the path analysis, we had a dependent variable which we knew was sequenced in time at the culmination of a number of independent variables, each of which carried correlations with the dependent variable. And therefore, what we were trying to do is to parcel out all the effects of the rest of the variables to see what the direct effect was on that dependent variable. Those were called path coefficients, and we were trying to establish the most parsimonious, that is, explaining the most variation in the dependent variable with the fewest number of independent variables, period. However, suppose we had a situation where we didn't know all the variables. Certainly we had no time sequencing, so we didn't know the difference between a dependent and an independent variable. It was not a predictive situation, rather it was a descriptive situation in which we were trying to take a certain number of variables and reduce them into a smaller number. The reason we might do this, and in fact when it's most often used, is when we have these hypothetical constructs that we're not sure how to measure. It's a composite measurement, which means we have more than one measurement on it, and therefore we're trying to understand how those different measurements or variables map into the constructs that we may be interested in looking at. This is particularly important in sociology when we're looking at the concept of attitudes. It was originally conceived of and developed in the field of psychology, where we were looking at mental attributes. In particular, Charles Spearman invented it in trying to deal with this generalized idea of IQ, the so-called G factor. And about 100 years ago, he did a number of studies to demonstrate how this could be handled statistically. Others have pursued and refined it, but essentially it has been used for the same purpose during the last 100 years. That is, to discover latent principles that may in fact reduce the number of variables that we're dealing with. So we take this large number of variables, we reduce them down into smaller numbers of factors by extracting the shared variation between and among those variables. The result is a factor loading for each variable on each factor, and from those factor loadings we interpret the latent structure. So far from being a predictive source, it is a descriptive source, and it generally has fallen into two camps. One camp that uses the word factor analysis very generally, in which case it breaks down into two subcategories. One is to determine the number of factors, and the other camp is to determine the number of components. Hence, in the literature you will see a distinction between factor analysis and principal component analysis. The distinction is somewhat technical, but think of it this way. Factor analysis only deals with the variation that is shared between the variables. And so it starts with a covariance matrix, not a correlation matrix. And consequently, it establishes the proof or disproof of an hypothesis about whether certain number of factor loadings, or factors result in factor loadings that best describe the variables at hand. you're starting with an idea of what the latent variables are, and you're trying to map these things into it. We'll see later on that this is very similar to the idea of discriminant analysis. But what happens more in sociology, certainly in the social sciences, I think, is the idea of principal component analysis, which takes into account not just the covariation between the variables, but all of the measurement error as well. So it's a correlation matrix we start with. And I think that it's useful for us to look at the principal component analysis more than any other kind, like the factor analysis version of it, because we are, in fact, typically doing inductive exploration. So sometimes they call factor analysis confirmatory, and they call principal component analysis exploratory. And so for our purposes, we're going to focus on the principal component analysis version of this, starting with the correlation matrix. I would like you to understand that by using the principal component analysis, we are trying to find the shared variation in the correlation matrix. And we do this in one of two ways. That is, we pull out the number of factors according to whether most of the variation is shared on those components, or whether we arbitrarily choose a number of components and then see which fits our model best. The first one is called the Kaiser method. And the Kaiser method generally says that we will only extract components so long as the eigenvalues are greater than 1.0. Now think of an eigenvalue very simply. It actually has a much more technical meaning, but think of it very simply in the following way. If we have six variables that we're trying to extract a fewer number of factors out of, and we find that those six variables each have 100% of variation, then in total there's 600% of the variation. We keep going until the eigenvalues are no longer 1, which means that if we take the values greater than 1 across those components and divide it by the total variation, we can understand how much of the variation in the variables is being explained by the factors. I'll give you an example of this in class, and you can see what I mean. So the Kaiser method is choosing eigenvalues greater than 1. The alternative used much less frequently is the SCREE method, where you plot the eigenvalues and where they no longer start contributing substantially to the explanation, you cut them off. That may or may not involve an eigenvalue of 1. I think we're much more likely to come across the Kaiser method, and so I would ask you to look closely at that. So now that we have the extraction method defined as the principal component analysis, and we have the number of factors set up by choosing the Kaiser method, it then remains to see how we would rotate our variables to match the best fit of the factors. And we do that through basically one of two techniques, either orthogonally or obliquely rotating the values of the correlations or shared variation. If you can think of this as a two-dimensional space, then obviously you have an x and a y axis, and the pairs of variables would attach those x and y axis as correlations. But if you take that x and y axis and rotate it, keeping the 90 degrees, such that you come closer to the points of covariation, that's called a Varimax or orthogonal rotation. On the other hand, if you change that from 90 degrees, which means that the factors are independent, to a point where the factors could be dependent, then you're doing an oblique rotation. Most of the rotations that we use in exploratory factor analysis are orthogonal. Third thing I would like you to think about is, once you get the output, you essentially have three things, total of five tables, but three things to look for. One is the table that shows the variance, one is the table that shows the correlation matrix. Two is the table that shows the shared variation in eigenvalues. Three is the principal component matrix. And then four is the rotated principal component matrix. In the PowerPoint, I've shown you a copy of the rotated component matrix. And if you would look at that for just one moment, you would see that the columns are the factors, right? So if you look at the factors and see that in my example there are five variables, then 500% of the variation is being explained. If you add the amounts of the correlations in each column, the bottom line is how much that component or factor accounts for the variation of those five variables. And if you look at the rows and treat them as R's and square them, then you would find how much of the factors are being explained by the one variable. We'll go over that in class and see if that makes a little more sense. Finally, I would like you to think about how we do this in SPSS. You would input the data in the normal way. You'd go to analyze, a dimension reduction, and then factor. You'd choose the extraction and the rotation method, and you generate the output. We are suggesting that the extraction method will be principal component, and the rotation method will be orthogonal. The output then looks like, and in fact is generated from determining the number of eigenvalues over 1 to produce the number of factors, and then to show the principal component and the rotated factor matrix. We will go through an example of this in class, and I will then ask you to pursue your homework while we're in class to share any concerns or questions you may have. Thanks for listening.